Luke chapter. Luke chapter 22, and we will read just a couple of verses. You will remember them well. Luke 22 and verse 19 says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ took bread," this is at the Passover supper, "and gave thanks and brake it, and gave to them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Why do we do it? The Lord said he would like us to do it in remembrance of him. That's why we call it the remembrance meeting. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, a name or a verse which you probably have memorized even without trying, because we refer to it here at 16th Avenue Gospel Chapel so frequently. And it says, "And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers." Four simple activities of the new church. Number one, they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. They were coming to worship the Lord. Number two, they continued in the apostles' fellowship, and they were coming to, among other things, serve the Lord and fellowship, work together, enjoy one another. They came then to learn from the Lord. They came to serve the Lord. Number three is the breaking of bread. And in the breaking of bread, they didn't come to learn from the Lord, and they didn't come to serve the Lord, but they did come to praise the Lord, to give thanks to the Lord, to give to the Lord, not necessarily of their money, but to give to the Lord the blessing of a thankful heart. That's why we come. Some people say, "Well, I don't usually come to the breaking of bread because, you know, I don't learn very much." That's not the point. The point is we come to thank the Lord. Did he get anything from the breaking of bread? We hope he did. We hope that he looked down on your heart and mine and said, "You know, those people actually love me." And those people took time to just say, "Thank you, Lord, for all that I have done for them." Those of you who are parents understand the affection of a child. How much more our God, who understands the affection of his children. And number four is prayer, and we come to ask the Lord for things. Four separate focuses of the church, but the third is very important. And we'll just read again 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We've read this often, and it's the foundation, or the explanation, if you like, rather, of the Lord's Supper. And verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11 says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh judgment, damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." So the question is, what is the breaking of bread? And the answer is, we've just considered it. It is a time to remember what the Lord has done for us by taking bread, a symbol of his body, taking a cup, a symbol of the blood that he shed for us, and doing this in remembrance of him, in thankfulness for all that he has done for us. The question would be, who should partake? The answer is, all of us who love the Lord should be taking the bread and wine. Opposite, though, is true, that those who do not know and love the Lord should not be taking the bread and wine. We just read that if you took it unworthily, it would be a very difficult thing, a damaging thing. Apparently, there were some in Corinth who took the Lord's Supper in a fashion that was so bad that they actually got sick. Some of them, the Lord took their life away. Very, very serious. We look at this and we say, well, it's just a little bit of bread, a little bit of wine. That's true, but it symbolizes the greatest thing that ever happened in the history of the universe. Jesus died for us. And it is a most solemn, it is a most reverential responsibility. And for us to take it lightly would be very, very wrong. And for others to take it not understanding, that would be extremely wrong too. So now, how do you put it all together? We usually say that if you are, if you know and love the Lord, if you're baptized, which would be a proof that you know and love the Lord, or at least that you said you knew and loved the Lord, then we would expect you to take part. If, on the other hand, you didn't know the Lord as your Savior, and you had not committed yourself in baptism to a public demonstration of your love for him, then we would recommend that you not take the bread and the wine, because we wouldn't want you in any way to be doing something that could that the Lord could be displeased with. When we do come together, then, we turn our attention to the Lord. We focus on what he has done for us. Is there a theme to the breaking of bread? And the answer is yes. It's not a time for teaching. It's not a time for preaching. Not a time for service. Not even a time for us to pray. But it is a time for thankfulness. It is a time for worship. It is a time to recognize all the Lord has done for us. By the grace of God, the ministry of the breaking of bread is a privilege of all the priests. All the men have the privilege of taking part publicly. All the women have the privilege of praising the Lord privately, and all the men who don't take part, and we don't take part all the time, all the meeting, we are continually praising the Lord privately. The meditative life of the believer is very important, and it often begins right here at the breaking of bread. I've told you the story probably often of a friend of mine who came along to a breaking of bread with me many, many years ago. He was an outstanding Christian, but not from an assembly. He never experienced the breaking of bread as we experience it. And we had a time together as we were driving home. I said, you know, there were some long pauses in the breaking of bread this morning. And I was about to apologize to him for that. When he said, yes, I noticed that, he said, that was the best part of the meeting. I said, what did you mean? He said, well, you know, it's the first time that I've ever had the privilege of taking the bread and the wine when I had enough time to think about it, when I had enough time to pray about it. Yes, I took it. I said, thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for me. What a privilege. And the meditative life of the believer is very important, but it gets started, I think, just there. And we say, what should I be thinking about now? I'm probably not going to be thinking about lunch. And I won't be thinking about the problems that I'm going to face Tuesday afternoon in business. I'm going to think about Lord Jesus. I'm going to say, Lord, it's maybe been a while since I thanked you for this, but I want to thank you for this. I'm going to praise you for that. What a privilege. And he's the theme. And so as we take part, brethren, we keep focusing back on the theme, not so much what we should be doing for him, but what he has done for us. It's a marvelous time of remembrance. Prayer meeting, we say, Lord, this is what we would like to do. Teaching meeting, we outline things, but in the breaking of bread, we just keep focusing back on Jesus. And saying, Lord, thank you so much for all that you have done for us. many of you are on Zoom, and you don't have the bread and the wine before you as we do. What do you do at home regarding the emblems? And we believe that it's probably wise that you take emblems at home. You could take a little roll. And that could be the bread, and you could break it and just take a little bit of that. If you had just a small cup, a little bit of wine or grape juice. Very simple, but probably wise that you take that. And while we are passing it here, there's a period of time, you take it and you pour your heart out in affection to the Lord Jesus Christ as well. So the emblems, a very simple preparation at home for you. Make sure that the emblems are there and that you acknowledge the wonder of the Lord's body and his blood poured out for us. Again, the focus of solemnity. And I think it's true. I'm just going to check the index here. But David Dunlap has an article in this little book, and he wrote it. It's entitled Reverence in the Local Assembly, and especially at this particular meeting. Reverence, solemnity is very important. We're in the presence of the King of Kings. How is the supper called? The Lord calls us to the supper. We're not the host. He's the host. He called us here. And out of respect and honor for him, we say, all right, we want a reverence. We come in an appropriate attire. We come in appropriate fashion. We come in humility. We respect the fact that, especially at this meeting, we are in the presence of the Lord. And therefore, we try to do everything we can. Timeliness, among other things, an important focus. So we have a responsibility to acknowledge that this is the Lord's supper. We are his guests, and we want to behave in such a way that we acknowledge his presence. I think I glanced at a little line, and it simply said that, if the Lord Jesus Christ himself were to be here bodily at this meeting, I think this is an argument that Harry Ironside made in this little booklet. He simply said, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to be here bodily, we would certainly all be on our very best behavior. We would be extremely humble before him. If we had much to say, we would simply say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for all you've done for us. I think it's a good thing for us to remember that he is here, and he will be with us as he is here to bless us. What do we do in preparation for the Lord's Supper? And you will often hear our brethren when they speak on in this meeting, and they'll say, you know, I was meditating on this before I came out this morning. I remember hearing that line from a brother many, many years ago when I was younger, and saying to myself, Harold, he got up earlier this morning than you did. I got up early enough to be here on time. He got up early enough to meditate on the Lord before he came. What a wonderful thing to come prepared. In the Old Testament, you will find repeatedly the theme that when you go to the temple to worship the Lord, to the tabernacle to worship the Lord, you don't come empty-handed. You prepare beforehand. Sometimes you prepare and you bring an offering. You might bring a sheep or a goat or something. You could bring along some other gift offerings. You might bring the first fruits. On other occasions, you simply come with a prepared heart. And the Lord says, and when you come, this is what you're supposed to say. And I can imagine that as you were coming, you'd read over those verses and memorize what it was you were supposed to say when you got there. But the theme is that we come prepared to worship. We don't come, I think it was Frank Haggerty who emphasized it here at one meeting many years ago. And he said, you don't come to be reminded, you come to remember. Is there a distinction? Yeah, to be reminded is you sort of sit there waiting for something to hit you. Oh yeah, I said, that's true. To come to remember is you come with a heart prepared. And you say, Lord, would you please enable me just to rejoice in this today. I remember, and I've come to remember again all that you have done for me. Question, of course, is who is fit to be here? And the answer is really none of us. We weren't fit to receive any of the blessings of our God. And if you're like me, you often say, who, me? Why me? What have I got to receive? When I was a little boy in school, I found it hard to understand. And I used to, probably walking to or from school, usually going from school, I would contemplate afresh. And I'd say, why is it, Lord, that I'm going to heaven? Billy and Bobby and Sam and Jim, they're nice boys. They're not going to heaven. I had a hard time figuring that one out. I prayed for Billy and Bobby and Joe and Sam, whoever they were. And by the grace of God, some of them trusted the Lord as their Savior. Why are we here? Why we're here? Because of no benefit of our own. But a problem arises. The problem is this, that sometimes the week hasn't been the way it should have been. Sometimes there was something happened and shouldn't happen. Some people say, well, that you did such and such, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be taking. I mean, what kind of a person are you anyway? You got down on your knees or in your heart, you said, Lord, you know I'm a sinner, and I don't deserve to be here. Let's go back again to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and it says, verse 27, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Oh, dear, you say, I'm not worthy. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. It doesn't say, let a man examine himself and not take of the bread and the cup. It says, let a man examine himself, and if there's sin, if there's something wrong that hasn't been set right, then set it right, and take the bread and the cup. You remember the Lord Jesus said that if you get to the altar with your gift, and you find there's a problem, go get it settled with your brother, and then come back and offer your gift. And so sometimes we have to say, it's true. It's sad. We say, Lord, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have done what I didn't do. Lord, I'm not worthy, you know. And you might even say, I feel even less worthy today than I did a week ago. What do you do? You examine yourself. You say, Lord, I'm a sinner. You know I'm a sinner. and I confess that is sin. This is sin. And then you take the bread and the cup. Why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. None of us are here because we're perfect. Matter of fact, all of us are here because we're a whole lot less than perfect. We came this morning to thank the Lord who loves us anyway. We came this morning to rejoice in all the good things he has done for us, and all the patience that he has. And we say, Lord, I'm sorry, but I don't want to thank you anyway. I thank you for forgiving all my sin. I thank you for welcoming me, even under these conditions, to your presence. The Lord's Supper is a wonderful thing, and we welcome all of you to it, especially those of you on Zoom that we don't stay close to. Some of you we know very well and haven't seen for a while. Some of you we really don't know very well at all. Some of you, I must confess, I don't know. We welcome all who love the Lord Jesus. We would invite you on Zoom to come to the chapel as you can, when you can. But our prayer is that we would all just enter into the blessings of this feast. It's called the Lord's Supper. And our prayer is that we will serve the Lord in patience and in humility, and we will bless the Lord in such a way that we will be blessed ourselves. And we'll say, Lord, we came to give you a good supper. We want to thank you for feeding us at this time. Lord, we just bow before you. We thank you for this feast. We don't understand it all as we should. But, Lord, we thank you that when we come with hearts before you, with hearts of thankfulness, there is a fellowship, there is a peace. There is a fragrance that is shed abroad upon us. And we say, Lord, how thankful we are that we could ever be accepted into your presence. And at the same time, we say, and thank you. I'm so glad that I'm a part of the family of God. I thank you for the Father and for the Son and for the Spirit. We thank you for all our brothers and sisters. Lord, it's true that we get excited about your teaching, and it's true that we get excited about our opportunity to serve you and the need to do so. And it's true that we come in prayer, and you know our prayers, some of them so deep and sincere. You know the greatness of our need, but Lord, we thank you for prioritizing for us this simple time of coming to bless you, not to be blessed. Of coming to say thank you rather than give me more. We thank you for this time of just resting in the warmth and in the fragrance of your presence with us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us this morning. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.